Let's pray together. Father, we right now dedicate unto you our lives, our actions, our thoughts, our resources, our time. We covenant with the eternal living God who you, Lord, are listening to everything that is in our mouths and in our hearts right now. You see our hands lifted. And Father, we know that we are 1 year closer now to heaven than we've ever been before. And we are on the cusp. We have now entered just a matter of 8 hours ago. We have entered into a year that is just 8 hours old. But if we're not careful, we'll lose track of time. And this year will slip by. And we will not, oh God, by your grace, we will not let that happen to us this year. We give ourselves to you. We ask you, Father God, that you would possess this church like you have never possessed it before. May the title deed of this building, this church, not belong to us, but to you. This dirt belongs to you upon we sit. The air that we breathe is yours. The glorious winter, summer sunshine upon us this day is yours. And we give it all to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can take your seat and grab your Bibles this morning, church. As we look to our New Year's Day message, we are turning in our Bibles right now to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Turn to Romans 13, verse 11. As we look at a message entitled this morning, This Time. Don't look to the screen. Everyone's had the weekend off. There's no notes. There's no verses. There's no points. You'll see none of it. You're actually going to have to write things down or commit it to memory. You're going to have to be good Bible students this morning. The title of the message today, This Time. And we're going to look at what that means. Romans 13, 11, the Bible tells us, knowing the time. That word is pregnant with meaning, discerning, understanding, dealing with, embracing the time. That now it is high time that we awake out of our sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And all God's people said, that is absolutely a fact. We are now closer to the fact of inheriting our full salvation. That is, we are closer to Christ today than we've never or ever been before. Ever. No matter how young you might be today, you are now 1 year and one day closer to the inheritance of heaven and seeing your absolute salvation realized. And so Paul the Apostle tells the church at Rome, he tells all those believing Italians there in Italy, that now's the time. He said that 2,000 years ago. And if you said it 2,000 years ago, how close are we regarding the things of God and the things that concern God? This time is that title in which we've picked this morning. Because listen, what comes to your mind when I say this time? Two little words when I think about this time. And I have dot, 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 this time what? This time fill in the blank. This time, for example, we might say things like this. This time I'm not going to turn left. I'm going to turn right. I've made that mistake before. This time we might say that I'm going to make sure that I stay on the straight and narrow path. We might say that this time I know exactly what to do when that time comes again. The Bible is very keen on time and timing. The Bible teaches us that it's God who establishes, listen, the passing of time. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ himself is the governor of time and eternity. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old. God says, remember. That's a time statement. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. So regarding time, you and I are to insert the fact that the Lord, he is God. He's upon the throne. And there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. God is dwelling beyond time. And from ancient times, things that have not yet come to pass. Saying, this is my counsel. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isn't that awesome words? I love when God speaks like that. I'm God. I'm the governor of time. I know what's coming, and I've declared what's coming from ancient times. Our God, listen, our God is the only God, and all of the gods of the pagans, our God is the God who is the one true God. And one of his hallmarks is that he announces in advance what's going to happen. He's the prophetic God. Our God can tell the future with perfect detail. There's no other religious writings in the history of the world, none, that predict the future as the Bible. We all know this verse. If you've ever been to a funeral, I don't know why it seems to be a funeral verse. It's not a funeral verse. It's a living verse for the living. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Regarding this time, think of this. There is a time for everything, says the Bible. A season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born. I believe it's that time. A time to die. A time to plant. And a time to uproot. I believe it's a time to uproot. A time to kill. And a time to heal. I believe it's a time to heal. A time to tear down. I believe it's a time to tear down. And it's a time to build up. A time to weep. I think it's a time to weep as a nation, don't you think? And a time to laugh. A time to mourn. I believe it's that time. And a time to dance. I'll wait for heaven to dance. A time to scatter stones. And a time to gather them. I believe it's a time to gather them as we speak of stones being God's people. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. I believe that we enter this new year as a time to refrain from things that so easily beset us. It is a time to search, and I believe it's that time now, and a time to give up. A time to keep or hold dear. I believe it's that time. And a time to throw away. A time to tear. I think it's that time now. And a time to mend. A time to be silent. And a time to speak. I believe it's the year to speak. A time to love. It's always the time to love, is it not? And a time to hate. The word hate means to hate unrighteousness and evil, though that is true. The time for that is now. A time for war, and I believe that's upon us. And a time for peace. We pray for Christ's return. This time, when I speak of this title, I'm talking about a time of memorial. I'm talking about a time of commemoration, a time of devotion, a time of dedication as Christians today. This message, as God's put it upon my heart, for me is both encouraging and convicting. In the Bible, when we talk about time, time is a very serious thing. We read about the patriarchs of our faith, and time was a very important issue to them. You and I live in a culture, listen carefully, we are victims. We are victims of an age that we ourselves have imposed upon us. We have become victims of our own demise and our own planning. And what I mean by that is this. You and I have allowed, both in our lives, maybe our parents did some of this to us, we're doing it to our kids, that endurance is something of the past. That struggle, difficulty, hardship is something for other people. You and I have been conditioned that if we have to drive through that fast food chain restaurant, isn't that fast food restaurant? What a funny thing. Fast food restaurant. There is no such thing as a fast food restaurant. A restaurant is where you sit and relax and eat, or you drive through it. We drive through, and now there's timers, and it says, if you don't get your food within 3 minutes, it's going to be free. We are conditioned now that if we don't have enough time, we can do this thing and download it immediately, or we can buy it this way, or we can get it. What's the fastest way? I can get it overnight, rush, order, now, because time is such a big issue. And so we've developed this way of thinking that if we have to wait for something, then that's for somebody else. I'm not going to wait for anything, is the way that our nation thinks these days. And I think the church thinks like this these days. Wait. We have to wait to develop as a Christian. We have to wait as we grow. The very word to grow implies that it takes time. And we're giving up. Too many people are giving up. And in the year that is upon us now, it is going to be a year of trying, of endurance, of patience. It's going to be a time of, I believe, great spiritual growth because God is going to be doing a deep work within each and every one of us. I believe it. I believe that God has been showing us, and in a sense, I couldn't wait to get to this year. Because I believe what God is going to be doing in this church, in your life, and in America, and the Christians in America, is a deep, strong work that is going to last. And it's not going to be fluff. It's not going to be easy believism. It's not going to be seeker friendly. It's not going to be emergent. It is going to be discipleship by the Holy Spirit to grow in the grace and knowledge of the things of God. And when we talk about time, we talk about pillars, we talk about memorials, we talk about altars being built. That's why when you read in your Bibles and you start today your first reading of your 1 year Bible, you're going to be reading a lot in the book of Genesis and Exodus. How many times our patriarchs came to a place and they built an altar and they worshiped God. Or they put stones one atop another in the book of Joshua, for example. And they praise the Lord and they mark the memorial. And they often return to those points where they first encountered God. This is going to be a tremendous year. I don't care what happens. It is going to be an awesome year if we stay close to Jesus. God is on the move. Christ is going to do great things. And you and I, our year will be defined either great or not so great, depending upon how close we stayed to Christ. You want to have a great year? Who does not want to have a great year? I'm telling you right now, you want to have a great year? I can guarantee you a great year. If you call right now, 1-800. No, I'm kidding. You want to have a great year? Stay close to Jesus. Amen. You will have a great year. You say, well, Pastor, what is it going to look like? That's the best part about it. I don't know. Doesn't that drive us crazy? We want to know. All month long, this last December, all month long, going through the checkout stand at the cash registers, all of these ridiculous, I almost said stupid, but I had a little kid rebuke me the other day for saying the word stupid. I'm not supposed to say that word. These ridiculous predictions of what's supposed to happen in this next year. And people are buying it. Oh my goodness, Elvis is going to come back this year. How long have you been reading that Elvis is going to return? Okay, a man will have a baby. A man will have a baby this year. All this stuff, and people buy it and read it. Read the Bible. Watch what's going to happen. It's going to be amazing. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know this. If I stay close to Jesus, it's going to be good. The Bible says, then Jacob vowed a vow saying, Genesis 28:22, that is, that at this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you, Lord. Genesis 28:22. He built up pillars as a memorial to God. And when you and I talk about an altar, a pillar, a monument, we're talking about a place of meeting with God. And I'm asking you this morning that you would make this year a year of monument to God. Not of some ancient memorial of what was. We'll talk about this in a second. But what will be. And everywhere you and I go, listen. Everywhere you and I go this year, whatever you and I say out of our mouths, whatever we do as believers, this is what's fun. We will not be building stones of altars. We will not be erecting pillars or sacrificial points like they did in the old times. We will not do that. You want to know why? We don't have to do that. Wherever you and I go, whatever you and I do, whatever you and I say, because we are Christians and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, everywhere we go, we will be establishing monuments and memorials and pillars because we are believers in Him. You will have memorial moments. You're going to have pillar experiences. You are going to experience altar building on your vacation, at your work, in a location and in a place and time you had no idea. You might take a drive. You might take a walk. You might go someplace. And here's the awesome thing about it. Are you listening, church? You are going to be encountering your God. He is going to intervene some way in your life. It might be a sickness. It might be a word. It could be an accident. It could be a blessing. It could be something. And right in that moment, there's going to be the opportunity for you to establish that moment, that point, that news as a monument to God. You must understand this. There are people who were here a year ago in this church who are no longer with us. They've gone home to see Jesus. Babies have been born. A lot of babies have been born. Things change. In every event, you and I will be faced with making that situation a memorial, a pillar, an altar of experience with God, or we'll miss it. And I'm begging you this morning, this year now, this year is only 8.5 hours old. Don't miss the moment. We'll look at these things right here, right now. When we say this time, I say this, I think of this. This time last year, let your mind go back. This time last year, and as you go back in the Rolodex of your mind, think of this. Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." We are here 1 year after, listen, last year. 365 days have come and gone and things have happened. Things have come into your life. Russ, I think about you, the things that have come into your life. And the monument building that he's having to deal with every day as he battles his cancer. Todd, the issues of your heart. Any day, this man's been given word from his doctor that his heart could stop anytime. And let me add, and don't let this go to your head, Todd. Let it go to your heart. This guy will not miss a church service. He's had medication so much in his bloodstream to keep him alive that some of you have thought the poor guy's on drugs. He is on drugs to keep him alive. He could die any moment, and he won't miss a church service. What is your story? Where are you at? 1 year ago, what was going on in your life, and what news do you have now? Are you being ravaged by that news? Are you saying, this is my calling of God? God knows everything, and this is my time to have a monument, a memorial erected unto the Lord. None of this is an accident. He knows it all. All of our fears, he will deliver us from them. Every one of them. Some are bigger, some are smaller, some are taller, some are shorter. Do you understand it doesn't matter to God? He will deliver the believer who's following him. Dear church, draw close to Jesus like you've never drawn before. These thoughts come into my mind this year. This time last year, our love for God was, and I have a question mark. Our love for God was, and I have a plus sign or a minus sign. Your love for God, this time last year, 365 days ago, was your love hotter for God than it is now? Or is your love for God hotter now than it was then? I can say thank you, God, by his mercy, because I'm a bum. My love for God now is hotter now than it was this time last year. I have to tell you, as a pastor, do you understand the terror? If I could not confess that this morning, I must resign. Because how can I lead you anywhere if I'm not being led by him? You say, well, you go, pastor, you go. Wait a minute. Do you have a husband? Do you have a wife? Do you have kids? Do you have single friends? Where are you leading them? Is your heart more in love with God now than it was 365 days ago? That's our prayer. May that intensify. This time last year, our faith in God, was it greater or was it smaller? And in this last year, what's happened to our faith? Discipleship's a funny thing. You can buy 1,000 books or more on discipleship. There's only one book on discipleship. It's the Bible. If you read it and do it, you will be discipled by the Holy Spirit, and those who are being discipled by the Holy Spirit will disciple you, and it's called fellowship, and you move along together. Should we have a grand discipleship program? Yeah, I don't know, maybe so. As long as it's biblically rooted, of course, yes, absolutely. But listen, while you sit here and hear the word of God, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're being discipled. It's what you and I hear that we get up and we move from this place and put into action by experience is discipleship. And compared to our faith of last year to now, has our faith grown or has it waned? Let me tell you, I can give you a little hint, a clue right now. Faith that is growing is a faith that most often does not see itself as having grown. Faith that has grown most often sees itself, imagine with me, as it were a soldier coming out of a battle, his fatigues are torn, his rifle is filthy and steaming hot from being used, his knife, his bayonet is chipped, his helmet is muddy, his face has got scars on it. He looks like a mess. That's what faith looks like coming out of a battle that it's to be involved in. Faith looks like that. Faith is not something that's displayed in the storefront window. That's called a facade or faux. You and I will never know if we have true faith unless we're brought in that crucible of tests. And real faith looks like a well-seasoned soldier. And we want to stop and evaluate. Where's my faith compared to last year? And that faith, you may not see it, but let me tell you the beautiful thing about faith is other people see it in you. You don't see the growth that's going on in you until somebody comes up to you and says, man, you know what? I've been watching you this year. I've been listening to you this year. I watched what happened in your home this year, or that trial that came to you, or that silly decision that you made that almost ruined your family, but you hung on and you turned it around and you recovered from it. And now I've seen your faith in action. Christian, my prayer, you may not want to ever attend this church again after this service today. I am praying fervently and fasting that every one of us who name the name of Jesus, our faith grows this year like never before. And that means difficulty. You say, Pastor, I'm not coming back. It's fine with me. It's fine with me. If we have 12 people in this church that are devoted in our absolute weakness and frailty to bow to the living God who is all powerful and bold, watch what happens. 12 people in a giant sanctuary will look pretty funny, but it will turn the world right side up. Faith. This time last year, our hope in God was what? Our hope in God was great or not so great? I find it interesting because, watch this, love for God gets me into battles where my faith is developed. And then when I see that going on, my hope is made buoyant because he delivers me through all my troubles. And I got troubles. You got troubles? If you don't have troubles, come with us. Troubles. Hope. God's amazing, never failing hope is our place of rest. This time last year, what was going on in our lives? Secondly, this time next year. See, Jack, aren't you missing a whole year like now? That's the end of this message. We're funny people. You know, last year. Oh, next year. Have you noticed that? It's funny. Last year. I remember last year. You know, next year I'm going to. It's a funny psychosis we have. What about the now? We will end this message with a challenge regarding the now. But listen, every good builder, every good soldier, every good parent, every good planner is thinking about next year. You say, well, Pastor Jack, you pray that the Lord, you say the Bible teaches the Lord could come back at any minute. That's absolutely true. But the Bible also says that we're supposed to plan and occupy till he comes. So listen. I don't know. Do any of you, have you ever taken archery before? My wife loved archery in school. You know what I'm talking about, archery? Bows and arrows? Did anybody ever do that kind of stuff? What about shooting? People like shooting? Anybody like shooting? Be honest. Oh my goodness. The NRA would be proud of all you people here. I love shooting. My family, my daughters are great shots. It's fun. It's fun. But you know what? You know what makes it fun? It would be no fun if you just walk around going. Have you ever seen those Middle Eastern newsreels where the people are going, what's going on? I don't know. Do they not understand physics? The bullet goes up, it's got to come down. How many people? So many people got killed today. Well, I wonder how many people shot themselves. I'm not talking about shoot namelessly. That's ridiculous. What is that? You don't have any fun doing that unless you have what?
Target.
Coke can. Bullseye. It's so fun. It's a lot of fun. Pumpkins are great this time of the year. But anyway, you got to have a target. And what about next year as a Christian? Listen, you could sit here every Sunday and Wednesday and go through this whole year and you don't have a target. Guess what? You'll never hit a target if you don't have it. You got to have a target. This is important. I want to be, this year, more useful to God. Listen, don't say anything about this, but will you hold me accountable and will you join me in this? I'm saying to you publicly right now, I want to be, by the end of next year, I want it to be proven that I was more useful to God. That's my target. You and I will either hinder or advance this church by a target. The church staff, if it doesn't have a target, cannot advance. Our worship, if it doesn't have a target, it can't advance. Let me say something about that. You guys, last Friday morning was the last Friday for 52 weeks. The Friday morning prayer group meets here from 5 a.m. to 6:30 in the mornings right here. But last Friday, the last Friday of the year, I felt my heart move to say to the few of us, let's do this. And we came up on the stage. We stood here in the dark in the night. And we dedicated every worship leader on this stage, the drums, we dedicated the drums to God for this next year. You say, I don't like the drums. I didn't ask you if you liked the drums or not. God loves drums, and we dedicated them to God. All of these foot pedal things, these guitar people. I know, for example, my daughter will stand over here and play bass. We dedicated her to God. Other bass players. Thank God has blessed this church. We've got drummers in line, bass players in line. We've got lead guitarists in line. We've dedicated them to God. Singers, we dedicated them to God. Choir, we dedicated them to God. Piano players, keyboard players, dedicated them to God. Asking God to make them holy vessels. And if they were not holy, not allow them to make it to the stage. And then we prayed, we held out our hands and we prayed for this section. I'm not kidding. Every seat, every person who will occupy, you are sitting here now. You've already been prayed for the year ahead of us. And we said, God, make them holy, make them pure, make them radical for Jesus. Make them, Lord, unlike this world. And we went all across that section, midsection, this section, side section. We lifted up our hands and we prayed and dedicated this place and you to the Lord to be useful to God and to dedicate our efforts to the Lord. And by doing that, we're building an altar and we can visit that from time to time. But by the time we come to next year, the end of this year, I should say, Do you think it's God's will that we would have grown? Listen, why would we not grow? Why would I not grow? Why would you not grow? Will it be God's fault or my fault? It's not God's fault. Useful to the Lord. There are victories to be had this year, you guys. Can you guys all hear me? It's awful quiet in here. Victories. What do you associate victories with? Competitions? Battles? Right? Events? See, I want to be victorious. Well, you got to join the fight before you can be victorious. And I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking you to do that with this next thought. This time next year, I want to be more dedicated to the lost. Amen. Lost people. People who don't know Jesus. In my own personal life, the closer I get to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is at work, and the more concerned I get for those that are lost. And I have to confess, when I'm not concerned about the lost, I think I'm far from God. And I'm just doing religious motions, you know? Because Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. And you and I need to be burdened about them. If we really believed honestly, really, truly, for realsies, that heaven awaits and hell is hot, wouldn't we really be burdened for the lost? Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know who that's for? Every Christian. Next is this. This time next year, I want to be more intentional about God. I'm starting to practice it already because it was in my notes this weekend. I was at Lowe's yesterday because I'm supporting Lowe's in light of the news. You're still watching it. The Muslim community is boycotting Lowe's. So I'm gonna buy everything I can afford at Lowe's, I'm gonna go buy it. And I bought a couple of plants yesterday. And this woman at the register said, have a happy new year. Listen. And I hope everything aligns with the stars. Now I grabbed my bag. This is exactly how it happened. I grabbed my bag. And I said, Happy New Year. And she said, Happy New Year, and may everything align with the stars. I stopped and I turned around. And I said, no, God is on his throne, and everything, no matter what, will be fine. And she goes, that's right. I thought she was going to like shake garlic at me or throw a crow's foot at me. She said, it was like an epiphany. That's right. Think of that. Oh, I don't know. I saw a black cat this morning on the first day of the year. I saw a black cat. What's with that? And on top of it, I turned away from the black cat and walked right under a ladder. So? And then that startled me and I broke a mirror. So? That's voodoo, people. That's paganism. You know what God would have us to do? Each and every one of us, if you can hear me, God is saying to you, that's right, I want you to live this year intentional for me. I want you to have me ever before your face. wherever you go. I will not be a God who you take out on Sunday mornings and put back on Sunday afternoons. I will not be a God who you leave outside the theater while you go in. I will not be the kind of God. Are you with me, people? Intentional. He is your creator. He is your sustainer. He's your breath. And he is saying to us today and for this year as a church, to end this year that's before us, we've got 364 days, 364 and a half days to make it a year where God is glorified in our lives. Next, I think of this. Genesis 33:20, the Bible says, then Jacob erected an altar there and called it El Eloi Israel, the mighty God of Israel. That's what he named the place. He erected those altars there, probably made of stone, and said, the mighty God of Israel. You're going to watch the news this year. Don't miss it. Young people, listen, take this challenge. Here we go. I know you don't usually watch the news. Young people, watch the news this year. Keep your eye on Israel, because the mighty God of Israel will arise this year. You watch. He will defend his nation. You watch and see. You'll see it on CNN. God will defend his country. He said he would. Deuteronomy 31:7, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has shown to their fathers to give them it, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, listen, he is the one who goes before you, church market. He is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Awesome words to the believer. Deuteronomy 31:7-8. The Lord sees things. He goes before us. Always. Do you believe that? He always knows. Why do we worry? Why do we panic? He knows. Yesterday, you know, isn't it great for God to give us summer right in the middle of winter? And so, yesterday afternoon, Lisa and I got our granddaughter, Emmeline, put her in the car seat and drove to Yogurtland to get her yogurt. And you know what's so cool about that? Today, these days, the car seats sit backwards for safety. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm driving. I'm looking ahead. I see everything around me. And because she's in the back seat behind me, I'm going extra slow. I'm looking every which way, ways I don't normally look. I'm watching out for every other driver. Why? Because no one is going to get near her. Are you with me? I'm going ahead before her. I'm looking all around on her defense. She's sitting behind me. The car seat is reversed. If she looks to the right or to the left, she can only see where she's at the moment. If she looks back behind the car out the window, she can see where she's been. But she can't see ahead. But she knows the one, Papa, who sees ahead. She was not in the back seat white-knuckling it saying, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I bet there's an intersection coming up soon. There's got to be an intersection somewhere. Oh no, no. How fast is he going? Oh no. None of that was going on. She looked where she was at and she looked where she was or has been. The past. I'm looking ahead. God is looking ahead of every one of you, every one of you, every one of you. He's looking ahead to every one of us. He's looking ahead. He's ahead. He's driving. God's driving. And you and I can only see to the side. And we can see where we've been. And I would think if there is a raging forest fire and you're driving along, if you're sitting in the back seat, all you can see is what is burning to your left or to your right. Or look behind you to see what is burnt. But little do I know, from my pathetic little seat, I don't see a safe road up ahead of passage. God sees your road. He's driving. We need to stop telling him how to drive. He's well able. He's very good about that. And third and finally, we'll end with this. This time, are you ready? This time, this year. This time, this year, now. Here we go. I will. Now watch. Here's what I wrote in my notes. I will, like this, okay, like this. I will. You solemnly swear, that's what I mean. I will to exert every effort to share Christ with other people. Why? Bible says so. I cannot neglect that. I cannot disobey him on this without peril. So Lord, listen, church, I'm not asking you. You see, Jack, this is nothing shy of a New Year's resolution. I already anticipated that. New Year's resolutions have no power. They're highly well-intended, but they have no power behind them. I'm saying, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to fulfill what is already revealed in your word in my life. And so, Lord, I do solemnly swear to share Jesus Christ with other people at every opportunity. Amen. You cannot sit here today as a Christian and say, that's good for you. Listen, this message is intentionally created to provoke you to righteousness. You must come with me. You've got to come. So I'm not coming. You're coming. So I don't want to come. If you don't want to come, we don't want you coming with us. But if you're listening, are you not? See, I already went through this a couple of days ago. I was already convicted like you are being convicted right now. Oh man, this is like serious stuff. Yes! But we're running out of time. The Lord's coming back. And what am I doing? This last year we put in a new driveway. We put in a walkway because it was falling apart. And it's funny because it looks really cool right now. Lisa and I joke about it. Well, looks really nice now for somebody who can live here during the tribulation period. Or whatever, you know. Keep a light touch and focus on what's eternal and leading others. The book of Daniel chapter 12 says those who lead others to a saving knowledge of God will shine forth like the stars of heaven forever. Amen. Don't you want to do that?
Yeah.
We're commanded to do that. I'm amazed, you guys, how you and I have the greatest message in all the world. I mentioned that last week. The gospel. And I think maybe sometimes we act like we're ashamed of it because we won't talk about it. And yet everything that's going on in our world around us is other people are so bold about the silliest things. Have you ever seen somebody sell Amway? Man, they're on it. They're totally committed. Or what is that other stuff, you know? The guy that comes and says, I can, wash your windows once with this stuff and your windows will be clean forever. And it's like, wow. This guy at Costco, you buy this blender and you'll be skinny for the rest of your life. And I said, give it to me. Drink your food. And the world is out there right now saying, dress in a robe, put tambourines on your fingers, take these flowers, go door to door, and invite people to be reincarnated. And they're combing the area. Think of that. Think of this. Think. You're not going to like what I'm going to say, but I mean, it's truth. There are people dressed nice, pedaling on bicycles. Like today, sweating today on a wintry day here in Southern California. They'll be riding their bikes in 80-degree weather, going door to door with passion. And they've got a different gospel. And there's people dressed up so nice, carrying a briefcase, going door to door, sharing their watchtower information. And they've got the wrong gospel. And you've got not only Islam growing in America, you've got now on the TLC Discovery Channel, the All-American Muslim Program, and all this stuff. Everyone needs to become a Muslim. Everyone should visit a mosque. Everyone should teach their children about Islam. That is all over the place. And Christians just whisper. And we don't want to offend anyone. Well, we offend the eternal God right in his face because, listen, it is the power, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There's no hope for anyone without the cross. There's no hope for anyone without Jesus. And we will cause this year that is now before us to be a sleepy year or a year that we say, I will go forth bearing precious seed and I will sow the seed of God's gospel to the ends of the earth. Will we? I vow, I will. Will you come with me and faithfully worship the Lord in truth this year? I personally believe that worship exposes the identity of the believer. As you can tell, I'm doing just about everything I can to empty this church out to start a brand new year. I believe worship exposes the identity of a true believer. I wrote down three things the other day. Some people don't even show up for worship. Not even understanding that the Bible says the worship is the worship of God. You cannot, listen, church, we will not be a church of preference. You know what I mean by preference? This is what I mean by preference. I don't like guitar players. Or I don't like the modern worship songs. Or I don't like the hymns. It's so funny in a church like this, you guys. It's pretty awesome, actually. There are people who say in my ear, hey, can you tell the worship people to only do hymns? And then a few steps later, I have young people say, man, those hymns, I don't get them. I don't get it. Can you stick to the younger songs? Excuse me, every one of us, these are not our songs. They are his songs. And if you, listen, if King David showed up today, if I went like this, and King David appeared, he would have a harp. A harp? Excuse me, David. Can you imagine? Excuse me, David. I don't like your singing, and I don't like your harp. Can you imagine David? Oh, yeah? I'm kidding. I'm joking, but David would say, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say, David would say, excuse me, I wasn't playing for you. What if Isaac Watts showed up today? What if he came out of his grave in England and showed up and said, hey, let's sing this hymn. Listen, here's my point. Or what if Phil Wickham showed up today and said, hey, let's sing this song. You understand something? It's not us. It's not our song. It's not our preference. Every song we sing is a judgment or a blessing upon us. We can either choose to take that song and make it our offering to God, or we can sit carnally and criticize it. It's our offering to him. Some people just talk through worship. Can you imagine? I thought about that for a moment, talking through worship. I get convicted enough when I'm worshiping and somebody comes up and says, hey, pastor, good morning. How you doing during worship? Can I say this? Worship is our connection with him. Amen. Watch. Prayer, worship, watch. For those of you who are not married, do not listen to what I'm about to say. Worship is the closest thing that we can experience with our God that a husband and wife can experience in their bedroom. Can you imagine a husband and wife together and the husband starts texting his friends about the Laker game? Or the wife calls her friends to find out what's the latest Nordstrom sale in the midst of their intimacy. That's how interruption is in worship with God. If that's offensive, I could actually, it kind of offends me to even think about that, but I can't, there's no closer, well, I can't get to God any closer than worship. And isn't it funny? We get to do it here and we get to do it in heaven for eternity. It never stops. And some of you just can't wait to worship. And I love that. And so, church, I'm going to ask you to stand right now if you would. I'm going to ask you to think about this. It is our prayer this year that all that concerns Jesus concerns us, starting today. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself in the cares of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Church, as we get ready to dedicate ourselves to the Lord today, I want you to think about this. I'm so grateful for some of you. When Paul talks about being a faithful soldier and being obedient to the one who's enlisted us, I want to thank God for all of you who are in the Air Force. And what I mean by that Air Force, I mean you intercessory prayer servants of God. You deliver air support in prayer. You pray and spiritual bombs are dropped. And protection is provided. I want to thank God for all of you who are Coast Guard personnel in this church. You pray that God would protect and defend this church against the wicked one. I thank God for all of you who are in the Navy spiritually in this church. You have a heart to go so far from this spot to share Jesus. Some of you are businessmen and women, and you tell me and you email me and you tell me how at Chicago O'Hare Airport at a cafe you're sharing Jesus with someone on your business trip. You're deployed around the world, and you're awesome. And I want to thank God for all of you who are Marines. In this church, you will battle no matter how outnumbered you are and how ill-equipped you might have. You will take a stick or a jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000. And I just want to thank all of you who are of the army of God, who are just faithful. You follow the Lord, you go where he says to go, you do what he says to do. No wonder why Paul said, be as it were an enlisted soldier. And so, church, let me pray for you right now. Father, I ask you, God, as I stretch out my hands over this congregation, this is an altar moment. This is a monument moment. This is a pillar moment. And Father, I pray those to my left, Lord God, your Holy Spirit would come upon them and speak to them. And Lord, only you can cause the words that you've inspired to not leave their memory now. May it burn within their hearts. Those, Lord, in this midsection, I pray that you would come upon them and call them, Lord God, to their place. That they would man their posts. in light of the fiercest battles, and that they would not flinch. And Lord, to my right, I pray, dear God, that you would cause this people to be as bold as lions. Lord, that you would take these worship leaders, and may every instrument that they hold, every gift that you've given them, and the vocal cords of their throat, the keys upon that instrument or the strings, that with every word they proclaim, with every strum, with every beat, from this location would flow, from their instruments would be lightning going forth and slaying the wicked. The destruction, God, of demons and of fallen angels. When they sing, Lord, may light emanate in the spirit world from their hearts. And may we get caught up in it all. And Lord, in a moment, as it will be now, when we go from this place, may we be fit for the Master's use as we dedicate this year to you. You keep us faithful. You keep us spotless. You keep us in love. You keep us in the Word. Lord, you keep us. In Jesus' name, let's worship Him right now.